One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
When I see my Baptist, as Dr. Truett used to say, my Baptist Zion, backslide, get cold, modernistic, liberalistic, indifferent, and dead, never cries out again. I see the women's change in the way they dress. I see the men become sissies. I see the preachers begin to have their hair done instead of cut. I see the little Hollywood fellas trotting around, you know, and trying to promote and talk about religious focus and weekend revival. Brother, we need a genuine revival that'll get people back to the Word of God. Yes, I was thinking about that old team model. My daddy had a way of convicting me. Back in the days when I was coming up, we had what we call a car shed. We didn't call it no garage. To me, a garage is someplace you take your car to get it fixed. But we had a little old car shed, and it'd go up, and there was boards in it. That was back when people took care of their equipment. I want you to know, listen, that old T model eased up in there, and my dad pulled up that emergency and cut off that T model motor, and then we closed the doors, homemade doors, of course, and we closed those doors and put the plank in those two slots, and it's locked up. My daddy, I can see it and remember, and that old T model, somebody asked me if I could drive it. I said, no problem at all. I mean, I cut my teeth in a T model. My daddy went out on some cold morning, he'd go around. Of course, we didn't have any self-starter. Boy, that's a newfangled invention. We had to crank at the front of it. Oh, how many arms have been broken cranking the T-model? That's right, you better watch that spark. But anyhow, my daddy'd get out and he'd wind that thing up and he'd crank, and directly he'd peep his head out, you know, he's sweating up a storm on a cold morning. He says, Santa, bring the tea kettle. You know what that means? He's going to heat her up. Boy, he took off that brass radiator cap and poured that hot water in there, you know, and he'd get out and crank again. My daddy was red in the face, and he'd crank, and brother, when my daddy gets going like that, don't get in his way here. I mean, don't cross him, see? I mean, I don't know what he thought, but he was careful about what he said, but he was trying to crank. And the next step, he said, I'm going to jack up the hind wheel. And he'd take that little old jack, you know, and boy, I can see that little old wheel, you know, and he'd go backwards and forth, and after a while, that thing would get started. But one morning, my daddy went out, and he didn't have trouble getting it started. I had all the trouble that morning myself. My little sister, Thelma, and you girls will be interested in this. She was younger than Lester, and I was the youngest boy. It became my lot to play with Thelma. And oh, listen, you talk about dolls. You talk about nice things. She had them. She was the only little girl in our family with three boys. And she came along sort of last. And so it'd be my... And so one day I got one of her most beautiful dolls. I mean, that is back in the days. Seemed like the dolls were prettier then. Seemed like they're sort of mechanical looking now, you know, sort of dumb looking. But back in those days, the little dolls, they just looked like a little baby. And I took her most precious doll. Not because I loved dolls. I didn't. I was a boy. I'd on my way to making a man. Had a hard time getting there, but I wanted to be a man. It was a burden to me. My mom would say, Lester, now you go play with Thelma. I said, Mama, I'd rather go ride old day. Said, you go play with Thelma. Now, she don't have anybody to play with. I'd go in there, and I'm telling you, Thelma would make all sorts of hot cakes, and she'd cook up a meal, and I'd have to sit there and make out like I was eating them mud pies and all the rest. Well, that was a... Huh? And so one morning, I just kind of, I guess, got disgusted, and I thought, well, I'll just try me something. I took that little old doll, and I got it, and I eased out to the car shed. My dad had already opened the doors, and he got in the old T-model. He didn't go around like he did. Old Dave told me a while ago, said, there's the door, and they said, my dad never did go around getting the door. He just threw his foot over the outfit, you see, and sit down, and sissies went around the other side and got in. But anyhow, I took that doll, and when my daddy got in the car, nobody was watching. I took that doll, and I put it the head right down under the back wheel. I mean, that doll head right there. And then I backed off to watch and see what was going to happen. And you believe me, it happened. I want you to know it happened. Listen, I saw him. He put that old Ford, that old T model in reverse in the middle, you know, and he pushed down. I heard it. And it just didn't want to go right quick, you know. And all of a sudden, pow! He ran over the head of that dog. It sounded like a shotgun. I said, I didn't intend for it to do that. My daddy jumped out of that thing. He run around there. And he looked at nothing but the torque or the body or whatever it is. Just no head. The thing had exploded, just busted all to pieces. And, of course, he didn't say, Sonny or honey. He said, Lester. I said, yes, sir. And that's where the fireworks started. Brother, one of the hardest, to the tune of Thelma's weeping. And, of course, I joined her. We both wept. For different purposes, but we wept. She wept at ball. There's a difference. Well, he brought real conviction. He made me realize I had done wrong. And that's the last time he broke me from breaking little dolls' heads under the back. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I said on the radio something today, and one of the puzzles of my life, Brother Mark and Brother Alfred, two of our directors, and D.H. Strader would have been here tonight, which would have made it unanimous with Miss Francis and Brother Gene and Brother Mark and Brother Alfred. But their electrical got on fire in their big motorhome today as they were packed and ready to drive into Corpus. And what a delightful time we have when we get together two or three times a year, but they didn't get to come. But I said something today, and I thought something. And during this season of the year, it's so easy to reminisce. And that is the Lord's goodness. You know, the Bible said the goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. I have a hard time figuring out. Really, I do. I know more about it than you do. I know more than my mother and daddy knew. Oh, listen. My mother, she was so full of mercy and forgiveness. And she was so tearful when something went wrong with me. And even in my sin days, when their hearts were broken. And when I've seen my mother with golden tears chasing each other down her cheeks, and she'd say, son, it wasn't your fault. Oh, it just wasn't your fault. But it was my fault. But she didn't believe it. I remember when the old boys, old Cat Brown and Odell and, well, all the rest of them would go home with me. After God called me to preach, and I'd go to the little country church and preach. And the people, they respected and loved me. And the old timers were so kind and would so encourage this young preacher to keep on keeping on. And the young people would come with whom I was brought up, and they'd go home with me and back to the old homestead there. And my mother would plan for 15 or 20, and oh, the big long homemade table and benches and chairs and all the rest of it. And the old tablecloth and all the nice things and the big four-layer cakes that my mama would stack up. And one of the things that always puzzled me when I was a little child is how in the world my mother could guess just how much filling she needed. And I'd stand there and drool all over the kitchen waiting for the pan. I mean, just wait for the pan. Chocolate, that's back in my chocolate days. And all the rest. And I'd just stand there and wait and wait. And she'd just put it on top of every layer. And then when she got the top covered, she'd go around the whole thing. Round and round. And I'd stand. And I'd wait. And directly she'd say, "Now, son, you can lick the pan." I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's about all there is left. It's just the pan." Listen. But when we'd come home after the morning service, we'd sit at the table, and old Cat Brown and Odell and all the rest of them, I tell you, mischievous as we used to be, they said, "Ms. Roloff, do you remember when Lester did so-and-so?" And my mother almost turned into an angel, and she said, "No, I don't remember. I don't think he ever did that, did he?" "You don't remember?" "No," she said. All she could think about is her preacher boy standing in the pulpit, telling about Jesus. All the faults of my life were gone. All the mistakes and all the hot tears that rolled down her cheeks had been dried away. Amen. As I stood in the pulpit and called sinners to repent. Brother, that's a little like God, isn't it? I'm glad He's forgiven and He's forgotten. Ain't no need you reminding God of my past sins. He ain't going to remember. He may rebuke you for even bringing them up. None of your business. I'm glad that's true of you too. You little girls that come in, you precious old boys with your white shirts on, with an old ugly, dirty past, many defeats, and running from the law, laying in some old cold climate jail, day and night, and yet God's forgiven. All that's in the past. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your name's been written in the book of life. God's kissed all your sins away. Don't have anything to worry about. Nothing. Oh, one day, somebody told me, must have been the Lord. He said, "You don't have any more to worry about than God does. And God never worries." Would you let me give an illustration? I close the message. I'm scared to look at my watch, but I'm through now. Back in my boyhood days, I guess the most exciting time, the most fearful time, the most frightening thing, I was the most nervous. I was more nervous than everybody else in the family put together. I was scared of the dark. I was scared of everything. I mean, I was nervous. I couldn't sleep. I had at least, I rode probably 6 nightmares a night. And I never had a saddle on one of them. I still have them. Man, the other night, right, I mean last week, I looked up, and I don't know why it had to be a colored man, because I've loved them. They've been my friends. We've played together. But a colored man came at me last week, one night last week. And I want you, he filleted me. He said, "I've never felt such a sharp knife. Pew, pew, pew." He cut me all to see. If I hadn't woke up when I did, I'd have been done forever. I know I never would. Now you talk about a nightmare. I had it. That is a nightmare. It's a horrible time. But oh, isn't it blessed to wake up? Oh, you kind of enjoy the nightmare then, because you feel so good not to be hurt. Mike, listen. I had so many nightmares. Until I really lived my name. I rolled off the bed many, many nights. Boy, I'd hit the floor. My head had, and we didn't have carpet. Fact is, we were just delighted to have wall-to-wall floor. And I'd hit that old hard, cold floor, and my mama would say, "Lester, did you have a bad dream?" I said, "It's over. I'm all right," you know, and I'd climb back on the bed and try to go to sleep again. Well, I know what it is. I know what it is. But one day we went visiting. We came back. And you talk about some excitement. We walked in that old ranch home. And listen, I'll guarantee you, in there, in the kitchen, in the, what we call the dining room, where the old homemade table, was a great big pool of blood. Human blood. And oh, listen, man, it scared me so bad. I was the least one in the family. And I stayed so close to Mama, and if she got away from me, I grabbed my papa, and we walked down the hall, and there was a trail of blood. And we went in the room, in what we call the front room. And there was a little chair, Thelma's little chair. And she was, and whoever came sat in that chair, and the blood ran out on the floor. Oh, listen, we trailed right on down the hall and went out to the chicken trough, a round concrete chicken trough, and it was filled with blood. Where he'd washed himself off, and we knew there'd been something horrible happen in that house that day. And oh, listen, we were perplexed, and finally we began to search and to look, and we found out that my neighbor, my playmate, Edwin Jordan. Now, when they moved to town, they called it Jordan, but it was Jordan back in those times. Mr. and Mrs. Jordan and Edwin would come. And so, he walked up the road. He got up home. And he said, "A colored man shot me down at Mr. Roloff." Oh, listen. They called Dr. B.W.D. Hill. He jumped in an old T-model and phew, he came down those old dusty roads and he came in and he looked and sure enough, a hole went all the way through. All the way through. Right in here. You know what happened? Dr. Hill, wise old Christian doctor, said, "Edwin, what happened?" He said, "Colored man shot me down at Mr. Roloff's," and he said, "He shot me right." Dr. Hill took his hand. And in the meantime, Mr. Jordan had buckled on his big 44 and gone down to Mr. Roloff's. And he was on a manhunt. That big old pistol hanging on his hip. Ready to shoot anybody, black or white, red, pink or brown, that might have shot his boy. Talking about something tonight. Dr. Hill! He raised up his hand. And he said, "Son, it's awful black around there. He must have been mighty close to you." He said, "Edwin, did you shoot yourself?" And tears started rolling. And Edwin told the story. He said, "You know, I went down to Mr. Roloff's house and said I found in the cabinet the old-fashioned safe with the little bumps on the side. And said, when I got there, the door was locked and I couldn't get in. And he said, you know, something seemed to say, well, you know, the window's not locked and you could climb in, get you a glass of water. And then, you know, it's hot." And so he said, and then he said, seemed like something seemed to say, "You know, Miss Roloff has a lot of cookies in there." And said, "You know, she wouldn't mind if you got some cookies." And so I went in there and opened up the safe. And then I looked up on the top. And I saw a lot of pecans and nuts and walnuts and hickory nuts and all the rest of them. And I just decided I'd get in the pocketbook. And I got up in a chair and I looked up on top of the thing and I found a little pistol. I found a little, that was my daddy's hog killing pistol. And he said, "You know, there was a little place there on the side of it." And he said, "I just kept a fooling with it. And boom!" And
Yeah. Yeah. Now then. Yeah. I said that to say this, dear friend. Sin is a lot worse after you commit it. He thought, well, my, there'd be nothing wrong with that. And when he shot himself, he fell on the floor. And directly he said, you know, I realized that I wasn't dead. And then I decided I better wash off the blood, and then I had to tell a lie to prop up what I'd done. I could have gotten somebody killed. But you know, when he confessed it, and Edwin bears a mark in his hand today, we need to be mad at sin.
Amen.
His sin caught him. And of course the Roloff family were delighted that he didn't get killed, and we loved him and played with him. But Edwin Jordan tonight remembers the time when he shot a hole through his hand. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. He that stole, you better steal no more, neither give place to the devil. Let's stand together. Now, while every head is bowed tonight, I'm going to let you make the decision standing right where you are. We're going to sing. And right where you are, I want you to say, Lord, help me stay mad at the devil and sin, and help me to love Jesus. And let me tell you this. You will hate sin in the same proportion that you love Jesus. He's the one that hated sin the most. Sin did the most to him that it's ever done to anybody. Of course, it was on the outside, but oh, on the inside, his heart broke because of sin. Talk about a miscarriage of justice. Talk about trouble and heartache and loneliness and no lawyer and no place to lay his head, and his own received him not. And tonight, right where you are, I want you to just say with me as we close the service, I want to do thy will, oh, I want to do thy will, oh Lord, take me, break me, then mold me and
shape me.
I want to do
thy will, oh Lord.
Father, finish up the service and bless every heart that's here tonight, and meet every need, and grant, Lord, that we might hate sin and never let our hatred for sin die out. In Jesus' name, amen. You may.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, Does God Get Mad? To receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO385385. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date. To order by credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The special offer for the month of June is God Bless America. Some of the songs heard on the music CD are God Bless America, We've Heard Footsteps, Lord, to be used of thee, I Want That Mountain, and many, many more. Simply write to us and ask for the CD entitled God Bless America, and the offer number is RO822, and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises,
Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. To use your credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Again, the offer is God Bless America, offer number RO822. The credit card number again, it's a toll-free number, by the way, 1-800-772-7507. And our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here at the Roloff Ministries, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward now to being with you again the next time we broadcast here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.